Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
And welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things fantasy footy draft. G'day, I'm Doss. On the show this week, our usual spread. We've got the Round 8 review, some waiver wire pickups, our trade of the week, and a Captain Risky with your listener questions to finish off. We've got two full-fledged doctors on board this week, as well as a returning scrub. But Dr. Fizz is here. What's going on there, big fella?
Not a whole lot. I just... Just recovering from Mother's Day. It's just such a whirlwind of flower buying and pancakes that it's a big recovery session. But threw out the question on Twitter yesterday about the bands I'd seen, and there was you're supposed to list six bands you'd seen, but one of them was a furphy, and we had a number of guesses from our esteemed Twitter followers, but every band was guessed except the furphy. So that was fun. It's a good fun game. So you're all wrong. You losers, get better.
Well, I didn't know basically any of the bands except was Metallica was thrown in there, wasn't it? I had no clue about a bunch of the other ones. A bit too old for me there, Stevie.
Well, I didn't put Salaboo Macy in with their fire intro, who just fucking great band, Salaboo Macy. Although, where's the T?
The T?
Like, obviously, it's a Malibu Stacy, right? It's Salaboo Macy, but where's the T from Stacy? Should it be Stalaboo Macy or Salaboo Matacy?
We'll have to... that's a very good point, Steve. We might have to ask him that. But anyway, the Statesman has agreed to be on the show today, despite the return of Cam. And with the footy show officially dead, he's now taken the reins as the oldest relic in the football world. What's happening, Fossil?
Well, not much anymore. I've been having a crap weekend. You just made it worse. Thanks, mate.
No worries. And Cam McLaughlin is back with all the inside goss from Brother Gil on the Dane Rampey disaster and the Razor Ray robbery. Welcome back, Cam.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Good to be back after a couple of weeks adjusting to the tropical climate that is Brisbane. And you know what? While I've been gone, I've loved listening over the last couple of weeks. Lots of really informative stuff, but one bit specifically caught my ear from Jono. You know, I've always thought that he gave the best insights, and this was, you know, absolutely no exception. So just let me play this for you.
He stood up and just went full hand for about 8 weeks. We had him on the show. We love Cam the Goat, Pete.
That's right. John, We love Cam the Goat. Thanks, John. Lovely.
Wow. Desperate times there, Cam. All right, well, I think we'll get on to our Round 8 review. We will just give another shout-out to Salaboo Macy for the opening and closing theme. So do check out their new single, Dog Days, on Spotify today. On to the Round 8 review and things we noticed this weekend, starting with the Essendon-Sydney game with the Swans getting a controversial W there, Statesman.
We are building a society without risk-takers. Children are never allowed to play outside without the vision from their parents. Playgrounds are closed down or padded. Even 10-pin bowling has little bumpers to help our little angels so we don't get upset if they get a gutter ball. If poor little Dan wants to climb a tree, why do we all want to punish him for being a risk taker? Now, if people want to climb trees, they should be allowed to climb trees. And Dane, the good man himself, was trying to do something completely different, but we've spent all weekend arguing. We need to change society, ladies and gentlemen. The second point I have from the weekend's game is first half was a scoring goldmine for Essendon defenders, while Swans defenders couldn't get their hands on it at all. The second half was a mirror image. Redmond looked like he was going to ton up and by halftime, but only scored in the 60s, Dossy boy. And last but not least, you should make an offer to Heaney, to Parrish, and maybe even Devon Lunchmeat Smith, as their owner's patience may be a little thin. All three have been underperforming, but should come good later on in the season. So have a little nibble and see what you can get.
Yeah, good point. And with the lunch meet, we will now have to just consistently refer to Devon Smith with the Braden Ham seemingly getting a fair few games
yes.
Now as well. So you definitely have to specify there. It is the Devon Smith that is the official lunch meet. Now, Zach Merritt has been absolutely carving, got a little bit of the Hewitt tag there as well, Statesman. But are you pretty happy now? I mean, obviously, a young gun, we were sort of a little bit worried that he couldn't cop a tag, but he's starting to pump out some big scores again. Or is this merely some good schedule that he's able to pump out some big scores?
Oh, look, Dylan Shield got most of the attention, especially in the first half. That's why Dylan struggled. But second half, it was mixed around. To be fair, I think Zach learned how to deal with the tag last year. His second half of the year, he was capable of doing, but it does slow him down no matter which way you look at it. So being such a quality ball user, and we know Shield can carry and run with the footy, but he doesn't probably use it as good as Zach. There will be games where he'll be hurt by the tag. There's no doubts about that. It's just timing, but at the end of the day, he's a great player. And he will get some good scores.
All right, definitely plenty of interest from a fantasy perspective in the next game with the Dogs taking on Brisbane. What were your takeaways there, Cam?
Yeah, late last season and throughout this season, we saw the impact Suckling had on someone like Hayden Crozier's scoring output. This week, though, I really want to call out the broader impact that it has on how they deploy their defensive structures. In the first two quarters, JJ Suckling and Tyrion Lannister, aka Caleb Daniel, were hanging off the back of the contest like absolute vultures. Predominantly Matthew Suckling, though. Every opportunity after winning the ball, they were trying to get it back in the hands of Suckers to make use of his elite foot skills. Caleb and JJ were in the same areas but rotated through at different times, saw far less of the ball, leading to considerable drop in scores. Meanwhile, Hayden Crozier was stuck within the defensive 50 playing a lockdown role and was, I guess, adequate. I think they're all going to rotate through that halfback playmaker role at points with Suckers getting the majority of the minutes, which probably isn't too much of a surprise. But for owners of the three, keep a look for where they get deployed when they aren't sitting in that role. Because even people like Caleb and JJ took a hit in points this week, it could be where you might see a gain against a different opposition. So Suckling through quarters 3 and 4 was actually deployed as a forward. He sat pretty much either within the forward 50 or just outside the arc, and actually managed to bag a major as well. JJ sat predominantly on the left wing when he wasn't playing in that halfback role, and Caleb was on the right wing. So looking forward where they have a couple of interesting matchups against the Cats next week, where you'd expect the Cats to probably dominate around the midfield, you could actually see, you know, JJ and Caleb getting a little bit more of the ball on those wings.
Yeah, awesome. Now, I saw in this this bloody matchup here, I'm currently in the listener league keeper by the looks. I'm still up in my matchup, but I do have a certain Zachary Bailey on field and copped a -1 there. Got to be slightly worse than the Harry McKay 3 last week, but at least he had an excuse of getting injury to the ham bone there.
Should we share with our listeners some of the messages that you sent in our group Facebook messaging about Zachary Bailey?
If you want, but I think it was merely backing up the fact that I missed the draft and I got auto-drafted Zach Bailey, and he became, from that fact, my boy.
Forgive me if I'm wrong. I'm sure that you actually put the quotation marks, best pick ever. it was something similar to that.
It may have been at the time. Well, he has a solid role when he actually plays.
Sorry,
but,
what's his
name? Oh, well, you low, can't count a negative 50s. One in 6%.
Right.
Cam, can I just ask, what are your thoughts about the AFL's scheduling when they've gone to the inferior rat to play a game and it's cracked about 11 degrees, whereas up the road here, it's about 4... We hit 14 yesterday, honestly. Fucking glorious day up in Ararat. Is this something that your brother needs to look into?
Yeah, I think he really does. And look, to be honest, I didn't even know 14 was a degree that temperature gets to these days. Up here, it's about 27. So maybe they just need to bring all the games to Metricon. Brilliant stadium. Glad to see the Cats here in 2 weeks.
Hey, Cam, one more thing from that game. With Libba, a few people have been worried about him tailing off. We sort of flagged it last week. He came out with an okay score this week. Were you still seeing concerning signs there, or are you a bit less concerned now?
No, I'm probably as concerned. I don't think that's necessarily going to be... He'll fluctuate throughout the year.
Oh, but Dunkley. Where's the Dunkley oil? Give me, pump it up.
Yeah. I think I was planning on waiting for that. I think we got a question about that. But yeah, so just give us your take there, Cam. What do you reckon? Is he back?
Yeah, I reckon he's back.
Yeah.
Sorry, was he gone?
He's only just turned up to the stadium, though. Like, I mean, the last 2 weeks, I assume he didn't play for the rest of the year. And he's just come in the last 2 weeks. And he looks great. He looks really, really, really good. Got forward, kicked a snap. Like, looks great.
So just to clarify, since he's only just rocked up at the stadium, does that mean that he said, I don't know, I'm going to play forward pocket?
That was a clone. It wasn't actually him. And now he's finally getting on the pitch.
What I'm suggesting is it's not Josh Dunkley's fault that he was dragged deep forward.
Absolutely.
He's always had it. We know he's got the ability. It's just his role.
Yeah, of course. But, like, this is a Bevo coach team. Like, if they're chalking up W's because Josh Dunkley's racking up 20 contested touches, like, surely they can't push him out of there now. Like, you know what I mean? It's if you're in there and doing well, like, I know it's Bevo, so yeah. Who knows, but...
Yeah, as soon as someone says, surely they can't, you know what's going to happen with Bevo. It's...
Look, I've got Dunkley in my home league, so I hope it does, and he was okay for the first, you know, month and a bit, but, you know, now it's like, okay, he's in the middle, go on, bang.
So wait a couple of weeks and sell high, Stevie, before the role change.
It's very tempting, but this is the problem, is he's always going, like a player like Dunkley, because he plays for the Western Bulldogs, he's always going to be worth more to the current owner than he is to someone you're trying to trade him to.
Agree.
Because he's, like, I had Wallace offered to me this week, and I thought in a reasonably fair offer, but I already have Dunkley. I don't want to take two of these switchable characters on.
If you got an absolute stonker of an offer, though, would you consider it just due to the...
Well, what's a stonker of an offer?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, let's move on. I don't want to hear Stevie's trade advice again. Steve, you checked out your second favourite team, the Magpies, take on Carlton at the MCG.
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing that they got the rub of the green with the three men in the middle and my favourite team didn't. But anyway, Steel, side bottom, did get the move inside as we floated last week once Taylor Adams was out. Steel got shifted completely inside. With Taylor Adams out and 16 contested touches, 6 clearances, turned up in both formats as we expected. What a machine. And he was really one of the big difference makers late. On the Carlton side, I thought Matty Cruiser, when he's fit, he is just awesome. If he ever, you know, is missing a week or maybe 2 weeks, I'd certainly be floating an offer to the Cruiser owner in your league, because when he's fit, he really is that good. Cunningham for Carlton is an interesting type. Listed as a defender, certainly got plenty of midfield minutes. Heavy handball ratio. Did kick a couple of snags on his way to 89 Dream Team and 108 Supercoach. Very limited time on ground, but I think there's something there, especially keeper coaches should be keeping an eye on. I think it's really hard to project him as, you know, a long-term solution for Carlton with all their early draft picks that they've got and traded away this year's number one pick for. But he's someone to just keep an eye on. And Will Hoskin-Elliott, he moved to the... Like, Chris Main got injured in this match, and also Josh Thomas got injured in this match. That Will Hoskin-Elliott got moved to the wing in the third quarter. And I think it really paid dividends for Collingwood. He certainly gave him something. We know he's a good overhead mark. We know he's a good user. So if Main should be back this week, but I really think I used to hate Will Hoskin-Elliott, but he's turned me around over the last couple of years. I think they could do worse than put him up on the wing and have him delivering the ball inside 50. So I think it's something to watch, although I'm not expecting it to happen.
Hey, Steve, what did you notice? So I didn't get to see this one, and I didn't get to see a whole lot of Carlton last week. Did you notice, what did you say, Liam Stocker, their draft pick, and that whole situation there? Does he look like a player?
Oh, I think it's really hard to say, because he's just sort of in the back line, in the back pocket, in sort of no man's land. Like, it was, you know, some of the Carlton talls sort of really played well, like Marshbank really had a good game. It was a really scrappy game. I thought there was a lot of hanging on from both sides. I know Carlton fans will say they got the poor side of the green, but I thought there was quite a lot of hanging on, maybe more so from the Carlton game. So I don't think it was a game to say, Liam Stocker, yes or no.
Okay, for sure. And one more thing, from a keeper perspective, I don't know what you guys' thoughts are, but with the negative media attention at the moment and some of his sort of disposals that have been pretty rancid, he's not looking great at the moment, but I'm buying all the Paddy Dow stock, because I think in a keeper situation, he looks like a guy that, for me, I think he's got the ability to put on the bulk, and he's got that frame that I really like for the future of the midfield. And I think his scores this year and some of the stuff he's doing that haven't been too media friendly in terms of just the rants at disposals, I think that's stuff that you can work on. And in terms of the next few years, I'd be buying pretty low right now on Paddy Dow. What do you think there? Are you guys as high? I'm pretty high on him still.
He wasn't really a prolific under-18 ball winner, was he? But I think that was the knock.
Yeah, but I see him being able to get those contested possessions and also working hard on the outside. And I think with the added, you can see sometimes he's looking to go in there, and it's almost like he's expecting Paddy Cripps to be there first. So he sort of hesitates a bit. I think when he gets used to it, I think he can be still really good. And I think he's got a frame that he can add a lot of bulk. Like Nat Fyfe was really scrawny when he was younger and can sort of put that bulk on. I just think he's got more in him, the scoring.
You're buying super low, so that's the positive. My question is, how deep are you keeping players? Because if you're only keeping 10, are you really keeping him?
Sorry, I'm thinking deep. I'm thinking deep keeping
him. Like, say you're keeping 20.
Yeah, something like that. I'd be buying super low, I think.
Well, you're buying low, but my question is, like, he's obviously behind. Like, Patrick Cripps is young. He's never going out of that midfield. Sam Walsh is young. He's never going out of that midfield ever again. I mean, so what? Even if he develops, he's the third fiddle at best.
Something just... Dossie's gut, it's tingling. It's got a Paddy Dow tingle. That's what I'm saying.
That's what it is.
All right, well, Gold Coast were robbed at the buzzer by the Demons, and Cam checked out that game. What did you notice there, Cam?
Well, I'm going to try to start this by paraphrasing a great poet named Khalees. The milkshake brought all the boys to the yard, and they're like, hey, want to kick goals? Damn right, he want to kick goals. You can't pass it to Melbourne's talls.
Jesus.
Any good?
Delete the pod.
But basically, I know Jono covered it a couple of weeks ago, but the main thing here is just the quality of ball and then the overall polish of the Demons going inside forward 50. Legitimately one of the best performances of the D's that I've seen all season. They dominated every stat, and they started to go back to their high-ish disposal efficiency and movement. But they only just got over the line by 1 point against the bloody Stevie Fizz Suns.
And we were robbed. Realistically, we were robbed.
Is it robbed?
Yes.
They were very lucky to be in the game at all.
Robbed.
I find them really frustrating to watch, because it's sort of like they're putting together the right things and then they just don't get it on the scoreboard. And what makes it even worse is that they've had another defender go down this week. So Hibbard with his collarbone, and they're about to come up against two of the best forward lineups in the comp. West Coast next week and then GWS the week after. Two sides that know how to deliver a damn good ball to their forward lines.
I'm sorry, are you talking about West Coast?
Do you think that against a team that has no backline,
I've watched them deliver the ball into the forwards, and I would highly question that statement.
I think they'll be fine against Melbourne. Again, like, it's very easy to deliver a ball when there's no defense. So West Coast, GWS, like, all I'm saying is, have a look at streaming forwards from either side the next 2 weeks, because I think it could pay off.
Now, my question, Cam, would it have been a 10-goal victory for the Suns if the Gotterini was playing today?
Oh, yeah, it would have been a 10-goal victory for the Demons.
No, incorrect. All right, let's get on to the Weagles and Saints game. Steve, what did you see there?
Can I just ask quickly, Cam, Darcy McPherson, is he an automatic add? He was taking a lot of CBAs.
Yep, looked amazing. Cool. But I think he was probably getting the CBAs as a result of Fiorini being out. But he's still been scoring.
He got him the week before.
Yeah, and he has been scoring quite well. Like, as a forward, why not? Get on.
Yeah. Is it Jack Bowes that's now moved out of the midfield more? Because he was playing the inside role and doing a few tagging jobs. Was he sort of playing more in that defensive role again?
Well, he did get some. But I've actually been charting a few CBAs over the last few weeks, and Gold Coast have a greater spread than most teams. I've actually seen the CBAs become a little bit more concentrated this year than last year. So you're seeing probably about three players less attending centre bounces this year. Gold Coast still have a little bit more of a spread.
Yeah, I would have thought the Nick Holman would have been the one to replace Fiorini in a sense. Like
he was getting him last week. That's what I mean. There's a big spread there. Swallow's really consistent in there. Miller's quite consistent in there. But the others are quite rotatable. Like Miles is in there, Martin's in there quite a lot.
Could I just one more thing I just remember from that Demons game. What did you see from Jay Lockhart? That's his second good score in a row. Now, I haven't been able to see any of the Demons game in the last 2 weeks. Been pretty busy with a move myself there, Cam. But what did you notice from Lockhart? Is he a player worth considering?
As a bench option, absolutely. But I think he's got his opportunity through injury, and he won't hold when someone like, I'm not going to say he's like the best player in the world, but who's that guy that got injured very, very early in the season? Kind of a terrible player.
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. Anyway, I've forgotten his name, but basically, no, he's not going to hold his spot. Probably after the bye, he'll lose his spot.
Well, all right. Weagles, Saints, Stevie, what do you got for us?
Yeah, so Luke Dunstan straight in, took a stack of the CBAs. I was actually kind of concerned about Jade Gresham when I knew Luke Dunstan had been performing in the VFL, but Hunter Clark went out, who had been attending a lot of CBAs, which might come as a surprise to some people, but Lukey Dunstan, 100 in both formats. He's on waiver wise, and we've seen him be extremely fantasy relevant before. I would go get him right now, although I do think they have Collingwood on deck, so I'd be a little bit cagey about what I'd expect next week. Not a reason not to add him. Jade Gresham continues to get mass midfield minutes, but he has been quite poor with the football in his hand for about a month. I'd be cagey about maybe trading him out in Dream Team formats, because obviously that doesn't matter in that particular format. But in Supercoach, he might actually be a really good buy low target, because his scores have been pathetic, but he's just still really getting a stack of midfield time. So as a forward, quite an interesting one. Again, with Collingwood on deck, I wouldn't expect great things next week, but it's certainly one to keep in the bank. And that's my main takeaways from that match. I thought Liam Ryan freelanced quite a lot, and he kicked 1.4 goals, so what could have been? But he was really getting up and down the ground. So I'm not a huge Liam Ryan fan, but it's certainly something to pay attention to.
Hey, even the AFL Twitter account mistook Daniel Venables for old Luke Shuey there. Did you see any excitement from him? Because he's one that West Coast seemed to be continually pushing as playing a little bit more midfield, and it's like it almost seems like I'm. That's why I think I'm pretty high on when Willy Rioli comes back, because I think, like, is there surely not better options out there than they keep trying to push him in there? Like,
I don't see it, to be honest. Like, again, we're talking about these really tight midfield, or when I say midfield, I mean centre bounce attendances. I did this match. It's Jack Redden, it's Luke Shuey, it's Elliot Yeo, Gaff, and really that's it. So yeah. I think they've got a really tight group, to be honest.
Fair enough. Well, it was the return of the greatest receding hairline in the football world, with Matty Broadbent suiting up once more for the pair in the showdown, Statesman.
Yeah, typically gave you a 60 or a 70 very reliable defender there, Steve. Geez, that was a joke from a few years ago, wasn't it? Port Adelaide, really enjoyable game to watch. Like most showdowns, it had that finals feel about it, just heaps of pressure. And fair to say, the Crows were probably in control for most of the match, although they had a little bit of a scare late in the game. A couple of things I noticed. So firstly, Matt Crouch's injury will create a bit more game time for his brother, and might even be a lifeline for for Bryce Gibbs as well. But just looking at Brad Crouch's time on ground. So this is the first seven rounds, 91, 99, 98, 74, 97, 92, 93. That's minutes on ground out of roughly between 114 and 120 minutes. So he's been around that sort of 70s percent game time and one drop down to the 60s. So as soon as there's one injury in the midfield, his time on ground increased to 103. Now, I can't see them replacing a quality midfielder like Matt Crouch in that team. So I'd expect that merry-go-round that they've had in the midfield to actually be concentrated on a few and will have less impact on the scores than what we previously had with Cam Ellis-Yolman being in. Who I will say, last week's pod, I was making a gag about Georgie Horland-Smith, but pronounced him Ellis-Yolman, which made the gag not sound any good at all. But anyway, was a dig at Cam and it didn't work.
Yeah, on that particular injury, we saw Hugh Greenwood really fill that role. Brad has been purely outside, rotational through the middle. I struggle. I'm a Brad Crouch owner. I struggle to see it being him who gets the midfield, like the inside midfield time, I should say.
Yeah, I just think it'll actually increase his game time, which I think has been, his points per minute have been absolutely sensational, but his game time's been quite low. I just don't think they'll bring in the quality to fill it in, and I think his game time will actually increase. Not saying he's going to get inside, but I reckon Greenwood's going to be the major benefit when we come to actual scoring.
Actually, I don't know how long he's going to be out for, to be honest. Like he may actually get up. From what I've heard, it's a bit of a corky on his hip, which can linger, but he may be up next week. But if he's not, like I actually, Don Pike might throw a lifeline to Ned McHenry, who's been absolutely crushing in the sandful, young kid.
Look, don't worry about second tiers, mate. Even Bailey Williams can get kicks there. The second thing is Westhoff needs Charlie Dixon to come back. So when reviewing the rules, I think at one stage it might have been a three-way chat between Cam and Doss. And it finally rung in my head because of the 666, we've actually found, unless they're the true midfielders, that the ruckmen are actually dying when it comes to points generation. The two or three that can actually be the extra midfielders are going to do okay. But this is where I thought that Justin Westhoff, just for this year, could be a major potential to be a very high-scoring ruck. Of course, with Charlie Dixon out, he's been left to be the main man deep forward, which doesn't suit him, nor does it create good scoring for him. So just be mindful, keep an eye, and if Charlie Dixon looks like he's going to come back into that team, that's when you should look to buy Justin Westhoff low, because it'll free him up when he comes to the wing and be the loose that he's going to really score. And last but not least, we're unsure how severe the Burton injury is going to be, but Bonner could be back. So if he's out for a few weeks, a waiver option for Riley Bonner might be worthwhile having a crack at.
This is my big issue with your Brad Crouch take, is you say there's not quality to come back. This is a team that still has Bryce Gibbs, Wayne Miller, and whether you rate him or not, Richie Douglas to come back into it. And I promise you, they're all best 22.
Oh, yeah, I agree. But I think they're moving Bryce Gibbs into the halfback role. And I know that's covering for Miller, but I think that's where they want to head him longer term.
You can't have a halfback line of, like they then someone's going to then someone's fucked, like in terms of scoring, like Laird will be in big trouble.
I'm not talking about who's going to be in trouble here. I just don't think that Bryce Gibbs is going to come back and be in that midfield rotation. I think they've put a line through him for becoming midfielder.
But how does that increase Brad Crouch's time on ground?
Because he'll be part of the midfield rotation. If Matt Crouch isn't playing, If Match Prowse isn't playing,
you're not playing more time because you know that doesn't that mean the defender will get more midfield time?
No, I just think rest in defense? No, I said that they're going to share it less.
I reckon Brad Crouch is a good sell, man.
Yeah.
That might be a hot take, but I mean,
No.
You're talking about someone who's perpetually injured, who's been racking it up on the wing, and is about to have better players come back into the team.
They were there at the start, weren't they?
Yeah, but like he's been burning it up. Like, I find it hard to believe, man. I really do.
All I'm saying is they won't replace Matt Crouch. They were all there.
All right, we'll move on, guys. We will move on now.
I was
now
about to break out the popcorn then, jeez. That was getting a bit tasty.
That's all right, champ.
Thanks, guy.
Well, while he's gone, my boy, Alex Keith, just carved up again there, Jono, and was one of the best pickups of the year so far, getting the showdown medal. Alex Keith, some epic stuff there. All right, on to the North Geelong game there, Cam.
So the first thing I noticed in this game is that I've actually been assigned a Geelong game to look after, and it's made my week, guys. Thank you very much. But the second thing I noticed is how fucking good are the Cats? And then the third thing I noticed is, look, Doss, I know you like to issue a my boy for everyone under 22 that can catch a ball, but I'm going to throw mine out there and say that Brian Myers is fast becoming one of my favourite players to watch. It has blistering speed. He hits every single pack whenever he can. And he has pretty good... Steve, go on.
Kangaroos, small forwards. You know, come on.
So let me go through a little bit more than Kangaroos, small forwards, because I do know better than that. His last four scores are 82, 91, 93 and 94 AFL Fantasy. And they're comparable in Supercoach. He's been assisted because by the absence of a few key mids, because he's had a few minutes in that midfield rotation. But actually, the kid is just a jet. And as a forward, like he's a legit pickup and could be a great F5.
Fair enough. Good. Cam, your boy, Ryan Myers. Another Myers. Cat.
It's good being in a good team, isn't it?
Well, that's it. Like, and it's like Jaden Stevenson, right? Like you wouldn't think that he would be overly fantasy relevant, but actually he's been okay this year because he's playing in one of the better teams in the comp.
Yeah. That's one thing I noticed actually with across the league this year is there's some pretty contrasting game styles, and the teams who are able to actually kick the ball under like say 7 meters high when they're kicking it like the old stab pass and move the ball quickly, they're the ones who the forwards are relevant with. The teams are, and that's why I think watching West Coast, their kind of issue is that the ball's traveling slowly between the targets.
The stab is definitely back. Like, I think I was listening to an interview with Dimmer Hardwick a few weeks ago, and he was just basically saying that, you know, he's giving a license to stab. Like, just throw the passes in as hard as you possibly can into that forward line, and you'll either bring it to ground or you're going to get a lead up forward.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I've been watching across the game, because it's been like watching soccer this weekend, because they're just sort of pushing it back and forward, and the quick kick is the one.
Yep.
Bloody hell, Charlie Constable must be shifting quickly up your young guns list there too, Statesman, in terms of keeper prospects. He was a late replacement in this one, tunned up again, still young, got that big body. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, very impressed. Again, we talked about my other boy, Geelong player, last week. And I think the biggest issue that they're going to have is how many mouths can you feed? We just had the same discussion with Adelaide. Port Adelaide got the same situation. He, long-term, it just looks sensational. We're talking this is only his second year. And tunned up quite well with limited game time. So he's going to be huge, but again, when's he going to start getting that consistent? He's in the top 22 and in that midfield. That's where the issue is, but really like him.
Just two quick ones here, Cam, for people would have picked up off the wire. Just a little concerning for the scores here. We had Jed Godison, also known as Jed Anderson, a 43 and a 60 for Supercoach, in back to his 66% time on ground. Did you notice anything with him? And also Cam Guthrie, who's been a great pickup. He only played the 73% time on ground with 59 and 87 sort of back to that. 87's all right for Supercoach, but 59 for the fantasy and back to sort of not the great scores that he's been pumping out so far this year.
Yeah, on Guthrie, I think you were probably maybe dreaming if you thought that he was going to maintain what he was doing. He's never done it in his history. Like, he's always been a pretty dang average fantasy player. And to be honest, like, he's not a great player anyway. Like, he's the kind of player who gets the ball and you think, just hit a target, and then he doesn't. But then for Jed Anderson, I was very surprised to see his time on ground dip, because I genuinely thought they were a better midfield over the last couple of weeks while he's been there.
I still think Cam Guthrie's fine. Like, 7 clearances, 12 contested touches. Like, sign me up. I know he hasn't done it, but he hasn't had this role before.
But I don't think he'll keep that either. Like, again, he's like with Grind Myers, how I said that, you know, he's been benefited from a few people floating in and out. There's been a lack of danger. There's been a lack of Selwood. There's been a lack of Menegola today. There's, you know, I think once
Menegola. Menegola was never there anyway.
Yeah, he gets in there.
Too many mouths.
Yeah. I don't think Guthrie will have a fantasy friendly role when they're all there.
Where did you get Cam Guthrie? Probably off the waiver wire or at the arse end of your draft. If he's your D5, I'm good with that.
Yeah, I think I was more saying, like, is there concerning signs going forward having him as a fieldable option off the waiver? So you're saying, Steve, that he's okay with the clearances. You think, yeah, he's still fine. Whereas
sometimes it's up, sometimes it'll be up, sometimes it'll be down. Yeah. Like, you know, if a defender, I'm sorry, has anyone's defender scored under 59 this year? Yeah. Once or twice.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get on to the next game. And it was an upset. The Hawks getting over the Giants. And Steve, I think you checked that one out. And we saw the De Boer tag once again. We flagged it a couple of weeks ago, affecting scores.
It's amazing. Like, De Boer, I charted the CBAs last week. De Boer took 30 of 31.
Wow.
CBAs, yeah. Which is redonkulous.
Spicy.
That's right. I'm dragging out redonkulous. Didn't have the impact, and I did field him in my team, so I was feeling that one a little bit. But GWS just kicked the 1-4 in the second half. My goodness. Hawthorn just absolutely denied them the pill. GWS were playing a man-on-man style defense, and Hawthorn really just picked them apart. Got about 140 marks. So there were some interesting fantasy scores for the game. I think that's something teams will look at going forward against the GWS juggernaut, who have been pretty good most of this year. I think GWS clearly missed Shane Mumford. They rolled out Dawson Simpson's fat ass in the ruck for 58% time on ground, and Adam Tomlinson's a backup. So Big Boy McAvoy and Johnny Segler sort of had their way in the ruck and certainly gave their midfield pretty good service. We mentioned it a few weeks ago, but Liam Shields was only owned in 85% of leagues on Ultimate Footy. And my goodness, if you picked him up, it is... what have I written here? Banger City. What does Banger City mean? It must be good or bad. I don't know. Seems like it's been good because I've been doing pretty well in fantasy, because I certainly got him. But listeners have been asking about one Phil Davis. Totally spare man in defense. Totally spare. So he's not exactly providing hundreds, but he's been a pretty good fill-in, if you ask me, and certainly someone to look at if you need a defender fill-in. There's a lot of quality defenders missing at the minute. Phil Davis, but not a lot to write home about. Toby Green camped inside the forward 50 until sort of the last 5 or 6 minutes, in which he got bit of license to roam and maybe pumped up his score to a 45 or something like that. I don't know.
Is that the sort of score you'd expect out of a gun, Statesman? Or
you wait to a later segment, mate.
Alrighty. Well, you checked out the Frio-Richmond game there, Statesman, to round out the round 8.
Yes, Rory Lobb is actually a thing in fantasy when there's no or little opposition. Cam, how long will the big boy Nank the Tank be out for with his groin?
I have no idea. So the game's still going on.
You're our injury expert.
Who is this guy?
Do your research. Unbelievable.
From what I've heard, Tom Brown's got the exclusive, and it's an ACL, PCL mix between a
shoulder. Fair enough. Now the next question is, who will actually come in if Nank the Tank done, or is Noah Bolter actually fantasy relevant all of a sudden?
No, I would say no. Who do they have actually as their backup ruck these days?
That's exactly right.
Ivan Soldo?
Right, so Soldo will come in. That'll be quite interesting. You're probably right there. The next is, how many injuries can Richmond stand? They've really copped it, especially when we're talking the Tools this year. And I did say at the beginning of the season, when we're actually talking a bit of real footy, is I think they've had a bit of an easy run over the last two seasons and made themselves premiers in 2017 and then followed up by being in the preliminary final the year after. I'm pretty happy with...
Are you saying variance?
Yes.
Are you catching up with
variance.
Them?
But I will say that at the moment, they seem to be able to handle the injuries by relying on the system. So their system is actually working. So I just wonder, where's that tipping point where they actually stop being relevant anymore? Of course, not many of their players are fantasy relevant, except for the fantastic Mr. Ellis. What a dreamboat that bloke is. And last but not least, was Dusty ever a good fantasy scorer? That's a general question.
Oh my God.
Steve, he's in your keeper, isn't he?
Still winning, baby. Still winning.
Did you put the big C on Zorko like I recommended last week?
No, I put it on. I just put it on this other guy. He wears the number 4. He plays at Collingwood. You might have heard of him.
Yeah, move on.
Well, I reckon that's the round wrap there for round 8. We've got waiver wire pickups to come, trade of the week, and a captain risky for round 9. But we need 200 iTunes ratings to get Cam doing the Smirnoff Ice Shoey, possibly mixed with a bit of a Great Northern there. And we're getting a little bit closer towards that. Who's got the update for us there?
We're at 179, last check. 21 more.
I'm actually feeling a little bit safe. Slow down. I think
which is how old DOS pretends to be.
Huh?
You're living a lie, DOS. Living a lie.
I'm young. I'm still young. I'm fresh. Yeah. All right. Well, we did get a couple of more reviews here, and I'll have a read of one of those, I think. Excellent content, top shelf banter. New listener this year, already loving the banter between the lads and the in-depth analysis. Invaluable resource and perfect for the long drives home. Oh, we've got another one here. I don't know if I want to read it out, but it does say, get around the Statesman. Love your work, boys, especially the insight from the Statesman on up-and-coming options for Keeper League coaches and the weekly Goderini chat. Keep doing what you're doing. And we'll read out the other one next week. We've got 3 there this week. So plenty of guys chirping in on that. So onto our waiver wire pickups for the week. And we use the rule of under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy. Of course, in shallower leagues, there could be better options available. And also keep checking who people are dropping. Sometimes it could be out of a bit of a rage there. And you might be able to snap up some serious value. So Cam, what are your waiver wire pickups for this week?
So I've got 4 for you this week. The first one is the Juggernaut, Aaron Norton. Basically at 57% owned, he's looked great in the last 2 weeks, and he has a last 3 average of 86.3 AFL fantasy points. I think you'd have to move on him this week, but you'd probably stash him and not play him this week, if that makes sense. So they come up against the Cats, and I wouldn't expect him to have a very good score. However, he has a favourable matchup against North the following week. So maybe grab him this week, put him on your bench, and then play him next week. Second one is Jared Leanert, 52% ownership. Had a cracking game this week for Port, and has favourable matchups for the next 3 rounds against the Suns, Hawks, and the Saints. The third one, and I really don't feel good about this one at all, but there's been an increase in his midfield minutes. got Jai Simpkin coming in at 17% ownership, listed as a forward. Has a last three average of 81. That, again, higher scores through the mid. It's a risk because he plays for North, but maybe get on it. And finally, I've got Josh Battle at 45%. Last three average of 80-ish. But buyer beware, that includes two tons and a 43. Might be someone that you can maybe keep on the bench and loop in if he does well.
Nice one there. Who have you got for us this week, Steve?
Oh, I haven't actually done any this week because it's been Mother's Day and I've had my hands full, let's be honest. But I'll give you a bit of credence to Josh Battle and say he's playing Collingwood. Defenders against Collingwood are generally gravy. Defenders against Adelaide, which is the Brisbane Lions, they've been a gravy. And small forwards against North have been a gravy. So if you're looking for a small forward, maybe Tom Papley can resurrect his season because he did have a steep drop-off in CBAs, although his away form has been spectacularly better than his home form, as we had pointed to us on Twitter.
Stato, have you got any to add there?
No, but I hate Nank the Tank for getting injured because he made Noah Bolter go into the ruck. Because of that, Archie is 3 points away from me in a league win, and he's got Bolter currently in the ruck and Baker currently in the midfield, who between them just got 7 points in the last 30 seconds of play. There is 90 seconds to go, and guess what? Yep. Archie's going to beat me. So that's my waiver wire pickups this week. Anyone but to do anything to do with Archie.
All right, well, mine is, and I'm going all in here. I reckon just spend a waiver. Just do it. Bailey Williams, 42% ownership, 32 disposals, 111 fantasy points in the VFL. Following up from his 30 disposal game last week. He's a must-have. He's coming back. I'm serious.
And Western Bulldogs really struggling. It's worth a pickup. Really struggling. They're looking for players to come into the team to replace
them. Worth a pickup. I'd be doing it.
They did win, though, right?
Yeah, they won.
Two games in a row, isn't it?
They beat a Brisbane team with a rotation down for the whole match. Just.
I've chucked a trade offer out for him because a stubborn Archie is holding on to him in one of the leagues, waiting for that offer to come from me, and he's succeeded because it has flown his way. Archie, please accept the offer. Also, I'm flagging Lockie Fogarty. I think he's a little cheeky pickup. Now, I'm not sure, is he only centre eligible in the ultimate footy? I'm not sure on that. If he is, probably avoid, but I think Fogarty is the way you pronounce it, from Geelong. He's playing well.
Well, pronounced resource before. What the fuck is that? Resource.
What was the one you guys had a go at me for last week?
Probably lots of them.
Anyway, Lockie Fogarty.
What's going on there?
Fantasia. Lockie Fogarty, pick him up. I think he's a solid fantasy player going forward. He's dominating the VFL, and if the Cats have given a go to young guys, and if you're looking at a fantasy producer, he's probably one of the best young Cats going around. Huge numbers when he was a junior, so get around him. Time for the trade of the week with Steve.
All right, I've actually got a couple, but of course I wanted to sit on my soapbox and talk about internal competition just for a second. I'm a Jared Harbrow owner. We saw Lockie Weller come back into the team. We saw Pierce Hanley come back into the team. What happened? Harbrow scores went to poo. We saw with Caleb Daniel and Hayden Crozier, Suckling come back into the team. Who is their main man out of the back half? Scores went to poo. Brody Smith. We had Luke Brown come into the team, someone who can actually take a kick in. They're about to have Wayne Miller, the GOAT, and Bryce Gibbs come back into the team. That can't be good news for the upside across the board. We've seen Adam Treloar and Taylor Adams. We know the splits there. Toby McLean and the Dogs. I'm saying be very careful about the internal competition within a team when it comes to trading players. It can be a great time to trade high. I know I flagged David Mundy last week. He's scoring well this week. Who could have predicted they would have kept Connor Blakely out of the team? But it is one of those things. It will happen and it will have a severe impact. I still think Connor Blakely is a fantastic buy low. No doubt your owner will have heard of him getting 31 touches in the waffle. He will come in at some stage. After a loss is generally when that happens. But on to the buy low and sell high. I think the great buy is Sam Pelpepper for Port Adelaide with Ollie Wines missing about a month. 92% time on ground. We just don't see those sort of numbers for Sam Pelpepper. May have been influenced by the Ryan Burton injury, but he is certainly going to get key midfield minutes. They've been grooming him. This is his third season. It is great times for Sam Pelpepper, and he didn't turn up. So it's not like the owner's going to be sitting there seeing 100 in their eyes. I think he's a pretty good buy at the moment. And I think a great sell is Brody Smith. He's averaging 83 Dream Team and 91 Supercoach. As I mentioned, a host of players are about to come back. Yes, they don't all play the same position, but they certainly do impact your ability to score well and your upside. And fantasy coaches love Brody Smith for some unknown reason.
All right, awesome. And if you like those sort of buy, hold, and sell options, Sammy Porter does a great article called A Dozen Deals, and that comes out every week on the Draft Doctors website. Check that out. But we're on to our Captain Risky with the Statesman, a captain option outside the obvious picks. So although I reckon the obvious picks aren't so obvious this year, it's been a tough year on the captain front. But who is your Captain Risky pick for round 9, Statesman?
It is Toby the Gun Green.
No.
GWS were stung this week. They're up against their reserves team this weekend coming. And if you watch the game closely, Toby was moved into the midfield for the first time in 3 years during the last quarter and doubled his score. There is a little disclaimer here. Doubling his score was only produced a 60 GWS player, only selected because I wanted to use the GWS 2's gag. Yes, there we go. Toby Green, the effing gun, is the Captain Risky this week.
All right, well, if you want more captain options, check out the Draft Doctors website for the Statesman Skippers article. You can also find Cam's injury report, A Dozen Deals, like I said before, by Sam Porter, and, of course, Jono's late week pickups. That's thedraftdoctors.com.au. And also grab yourself some merch. Grab a shirt, represent the brand. Yes, Steve.
Yeah, and Statesman Skippers comes out about 10 minutes before the game on Friday night, so make sure.
He swung it to me at like 6 o'clock on Friday to edit for him as well. Yeah. Stitching me up.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. I've been under the pump. It's been a long winter so far, and it hasn't even started winter yet.
Yeah, that Mother's Day. It's been tough on us all.
On to some quick questions from social media. You can follow us at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or find us on Facebook and Instagram. And I'll check it out. There's only a couple here, but this one, I don't like the start of this one. Welcome back, Cam. Don't know about that, but what is the lowest on-field score you guys have carried to a league victory this season? I'm carrying an 8 to Burton this round that is going to the wire, trumped by a win with a 3 from Short when he did an elbow.
I carried a donut. It was amazing. I ended up putting up about 1,900 in my 5,1754 with a donut. Massive week.
Outstanding. I'm just trying to find out if I actually won that matchup with my -1 from Zach Bailey. That would probably be the winner for me. And I did not. lost by 21, so I can't claim that one. Anyone else with a low score this year? We got one more question as well coming up. Is Dunkley back? And why the hell would Goody move one of the most contested beasts to a wing/half forward and screw Angus Brayshaw over?
I have an answer for the Melbourne thing. I think it's because they don't have anywhere else to put guys like Viney and Oliver, whereas Angus Brayshaw is a reasonable user of the ball. Actually, Nathan Jones has gone back inside.
Oh, yeah.
Which is shocking because he's actually a good user as well. But Melbourne actually don't have a lot of great users of the football, surprisingly enough. So maybe trying to get him the ball on the outside is a thing they're trying to do. I don't know, but it's unfortunately they made Jack Viney their captain when, you know, he should be their VFL captain.
Yeah, I mean, it just sucks though.
No one even was shocked by that statement, which kind of just proves it's actually true.
I'm just so used to DOS talking about players in the VFL that I didn't blink an eyelid, Steve.
The problem, I think, Melbourne. Look, like I said, I've been charting the games and all that, and they really want a rotation of Melksham, Harms, Jones, Oliver and Viney, and I don't understand it because, and Melbourne are just a team with a lack of good ball users. That's all it is. And I would suspect that they want their guys who can win the ball on the inside and the guys who can use it on the outside. And I think they're paying the price because that was one of the things that was mooted coming into the season, that you're going to have to be a skillful team. And Melbourne just aren't a skillful team.
Yeah, it's been pretty strange. I do find it so... Yeah, it's very strange seeing him on the outside, but you make some good points. What do Brayshaw owners do? Do we wait and hope, or do we, if somebody throws us an offer that's okay, what do we do? Like,
well, I think this is the big problem: is if you're selling really low.
Mm.
I would try to package him with someone who is maybe performing above expectation. I've sort of spoke about with, I think David Mundy is performing above expectation. I might try to pair a Mundy and Brayshaw to try upgrade somewhere else, because that's the move for me. You can't start, I mean, you can start Brayshaw, but I'm concerned. Like, they had the most gravy matchup going around. Like, they've had gravy matchups, really. And it's not working for them.
Yeah. Now we've...
And that's a kind of mentality of a fantasy football owner. Are you going down with the ship, or are you trying to salvage your season? Because in a redraft, I play to win, man. You can't be safe. If it turns out the other way, hey, that's how it is. I think people will still pay a little bit above what he's producing. Probably not what you drafted him at. It's probably in the middle. For the name Brayshaw,
it's so tough. I mean, I think I have him in a keeper. It's a lot easier in a keeper because you can just wait for the role to change. But in a single season league, it's very concerning. Now we have one more question here, and it is a Dossie's dilemma, guys. So I have a real life dilemma. I have a real life dilemma on my hands. Now,
is it, should I wear this beanie? No, you shouldn't.
Yeah, no.
The beanie's fire, so we'll leave that.
Can we talk about the jumper? What's the jumper?
The jumper is even more fire. This is an op shop special, this one. But can I actually say that
I'm the only one with the full head of hair? What's going on there, gentlemen?
Mate, that jumper would get you beaten up on Hindley Street.
Yeah. Hindley. Gee, you really are a Melbourneer, aren't you? That'd be Hindley. That'd be Hindley, champ.
You can't pronounce it properly after you've had your teeth kicked out on Hindley Street.
Now, Dossie's dilemma. It is a serious, real-life dilemma, this one. So, I've got a nephew on the way, and I've got to have these... You got to have the injections now before you meet the kid. So, you got to have the flu and the whooping cough shot. Now...
You know how to pronounce cough over there? Is that like Hindley or Hindley?
Now, guys, I got a confession to make. I'm the David Zaharakis of the Draft Doctors podcast.
Ooh.
Cannot handle a needle, and I'm in strife. Do I cop the needle, or do I just wait till he's 2 or 3 years old before meeting the baby?
No. Let me get in because I know what's the problem. He's not afraid of needles. He's an anti-vaxxer.
You got me.
Now, anti-vaxxer, have you seen a child before?
Mark it down as
been there, done that, mate. You don't need to see them just because they're so-called related to you. This is another child.
See, I don't think it's been come out on the podcast because we don't like, and I appreciate Doss's vegetarianism, but Doss is a veggie, so I think anti-vaxxer is the only next logical step.
All right, well, Dossie's dilemma was another cracker.
Doss, get behind modern science, Dossie.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors podcast. Follow us on Twitter at the Draft Doctors and check out thedraftdoctors.com.
It's just like, I'll just shut the show. .au.
Anti-vaxxer for life.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.
Oh, Dossie just froze.
He's gone. He's out of there.
Nah, it'll still be a recording on his end. Dossie. Oh, he's on the hotspot. That could be trouble.
He is. Oh, there he is. He's back. Go for it, mate.
Just start talking. I did the intro recorder. Just start talking about the Essendon Sydney game.
Oh, is that nice?
Yeah, well. Right.
Fantastic. Great intro, Doss. You're getting better each week. I mean, Cam comes up with
I did it when I cut out.
Follow up Doss. With that intro. Just start talking about it.
I did it when I cut out.
Just start talking about
Doss,
it.
Doss, if you cut any of this,